We both just sigh.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome D-Tech Smith and Steve Mix. You are now entering
the MegaCast.
What's up, D-Tech Smith?
Tell you what, Mixy.
What's up?
Out of respect for you, I didn't ask a question during the wrestling interview.
That's right. For wrestling fans, you're going to want to stick around until the very end of our podcast. We're still doing a full podcast or however full, whatever full means in our world, anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes. And then at the end of it, if you're not a wrestling fan, the podcast is over. If you are a wrestling fan, you'll get to hear me chat with Bryan Danielson about a match you already had. But I recorded it before the match. But it's still a fun chat. So if you're a fan of wrestling and you enjoy listening to Bryan Danielson, you want to listen to it. But yeah, thanks, Ted, for not chiming in during the interview. I wanted to get my questions.
I could just see it in your eyes. Yeah. Like, you were so excited.
This is my time.
I didn't want to step on your toes.
Ted, I have to wish you a very happy anniversary.
All right.
Did you remember our anniversary? You didn't remember our anniversary.
I didn't.
After all these years of you and I being friends, you forgot that this is our 7-year anniversary.
Of the MegaCast?
No, the night that we dressed up as Bert and Ernie and went to a Fish concert.
Oh! Dude, I was talking about that on the show, like, I think yesterday or Monday.
I thought about it this morning because we were talking about an insane thing that happened at a Fish show where
The people fell.
One guy fell and died off the upper level, and then another guy fell and landed on another human being who probably was hallucinating, and that had to have messed up his high.
Yeah,
well, broke his leg and everything.
I was telling that story, and I was like, well, we were dressed as Bert and Ernie. Like, it was a fun show, and I go, and Bert and Ernie get into any suite they want.
Any suite. It didn't matter. We were in, like, the team owner's suite at one point, I think.
Right. And yes. They were like, did you have tickets for that? We're like, no.
No.
And then I was telling them about...
I think we had, like, just a regular seat ticket, and we were able to get anywhere. We didn't try to go on the floor, but I'm sure we could have gotten
on. We could have.
Yeah.
Bert and Ernie get invited everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I was telling them about taking pictures with people that I knew, but they didn't know it was us inside of there. Happy birthday. Like, God damn it. What is this? Like, 3:10.
Ernie, why do you know my birthday? Yeah, it was 7 years ago. It showed up on my Facebook memories.
Nice.
That you and I went to see the Fish. We went and saw Fish over at what's now Climate Pledge, but it was then the Key Arena. And we were dressed as those Halloween costume versions. If you go to our Twitter headers, I think both of us still have it as our cover photo of us as Bert and Ernie. And we just dominated that Fish concert to the point where on Fish message boards, they were talking about Bert and Ernie dancing behind the band. Because we ended up in a suite behind the band.
Right, I remember that. And was that the same night somebody left their phone like there and then they had to go back and get it?
Not that I remember, but it was a very fuzzy night. I just thought, that's so funny you thought of it as well, but that was such a fun concert. And I was thinking, should Bert and Ernie make an appearance at a Kraken game?
Ooh. I want to go see one first.
Yeah,
and then we can be jackasses.
I'm just kidding. That would not go over as well, I'd imagine. People loved us as Bert and Ernie when we were at the Fitch concert, though.
They did.
That was a great time.
And they let us in everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what I think. Yeah.
Nope, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. God, that was a fun night.
That was an insane night. I can't believe that was 7 years ago.
That's wild.
Still, I think that's the last time I saw Fish. I don't know if I'd ever go see Fish again unless we go as Bert and Ernie.
I know. Well, yeah. I mean, we go one of those weekends at the Gorge, but that's always my joke. The big thing in the Fish circles is never miss the Sunday show. So I always say, miss the Sunday show.
Yeah, we don't care about the Sunday show. Yeah. Sunday show is for posers. It's for like Muppet Babies, not Bert and Ernie.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little kid stuff.
We go hard.
We go on hard.
Friday and Saturday shows. Bert and Ernie from the streets. I think that's what we were calling ourselves.
Right.
Walking the streets of Lower Queen Anne, which... if we have time, I'll share my experience. I got to check out Climate Pledge Arena over the weekend, and
nice!
It's not the Key Arena anymore at all. Minus the roof, it is a completely brand new arena.
Okay, I saw a lot of tweets last night that were just like, "This is not the Key Arena."
No, I get why Shaq and other people have said that this is the nicest arena that they've ever been to. It's remove the roof situation. This is just a brand new arena that was built in the same spot where the Key Arena was.
I will say though, $16 for a 12-ounce can of craft beer. I'm like, oh.
Dude, $16 for a can of Truly, $13 for a can of Coors Light. I saw the pictures and I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
That's crazy.
We go to the Kraken game in December, we might just need to pre-funk.
Well, we're going to pre-funk either way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, damn it. I keep forgetting. I got to work that day.
What day?
Because the game's on Friday, right?
I think
December.
It's a Saturday.
Is it? I think it's a Friday. I thought it was a Friday night.
Hold on.
I was telling Mike Hawk about it. I was like, oh, yeah, Steve and I are going to do this and that. And he's like, are you taking the day off? I was like,
oh, yeah, it is a work day.
I was like, no, I didn't. I was like, damn, I didn't think about that. We'll still get a couple in, but I want to see the, because I've never been there and I will never been to a Kraken game. Like, that's one sporting event where, like, I want to see the pregame stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know what? We'll figure out a way to pre-funk, even if it's like doing shots on the walk there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I want to be there before the game starts, too. And I think the game starts at 7. So
yeah,
we'll have to just kind of hightail it.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll show up here and hop on the Appy Hour real quick and we'll make it a quick one.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm totally in. And then we'll just go straight to the arena from here.
Yeah.
We'll worry about getting our stuff later.
Yeah. We'll have shots of beers here.
Oh, yeah. We'll pre-funk here and we'll go straight to the game. We can get on the monorail.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's a party. We're good.
It's on.
Oh, we don't have to worry about anything. I'll bring my Bert costume again. So, yeah, well, definitely, if we have time, I have a very, very, like, just crazy weekend that happened at Climate Pledge Arena, where I got to go check out the new ice arena.
Nice.
All right, let's get rocking. Let's get things going. Let's get inspired by Ernie.
Yeah.
TED Talks, starring D-Tech Smith.
Can't believe you forgot our anniversary.
Sorry, honey.
It's okay, babe. Don't forget next year. It's our monumental
October 20th.
Yeah.
So this one's a little sad to start, but unfortunately, I found out over the weekend, a guy that's my age, 40 years old, I went to high school with, was having like super healthy guy, was having some surgery or whatever. Either way, never made it out of the surgery table.
Wow.
So yeah, and this sounds bad, but like he ran a gym, and you know what I mean. It's just like, it's just shocking. You're like, mm-hmm. That guy passed away.
Was he going in for a serious surgery, or was it just complications during the surgery?
You know, one of those things, like he had some pain or whatever. He goes in, they found fluid around his heart. But I mean, like, gosh. If you looked at right, he owned a gym. You wouldn't like,
right.
I guess I just want to remind people that like do the right stuff and everything. But man, life is short.
Yeah.
And it's sobering. But also, I just want to remind people too, like life is short. So, you know, try to be good to others. Right. And it's easy to say love others and this and that, but sometimes there's tough things and you deal with people in your life that won't do right by you.
Right.
Just
let it go.
Forgive them.
Yeah.
You don't have to forget. Right. Like I don't forget stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you live with that kind of anger and stuff at the end of the day, like the a-holes you're mad at, like they don't care.
No. They're just going about their day not knowing that you're just still miserable about it.
Yeah. So listen, you can hear it in my voice. It's tough to do, but I'm telling you, you got to forgive people. You don't have to forget and don't go back and make the same mistakes.
You don't have to be buddy-buddy again.
Right. But just, you know, life is shockingly short. Yeah, that one, I was like, holy cow.
Yeah, man. And to double down on this, the bummer stuff, but it's like, it doesn't seem like, it's, you know, the older we get, these are the stories we're going to hear more. And it's going to be like a constant reminder of, man, just make the most of what life we do have. Because like you said, yeah, life, I always joke, I'm like, life is short, but it's also really long in the sense that like, don't do something that you're miserable with or don't be miserable in your life because like, we have only one life on this planet and it could be a really long time and you're just stuck doing things that are making you miserable. That sucks to be miserable the entire time you're on this planet.
It does.
Yeah.
And also I would remind people too, we all know it, but just be careful with social media. Because it makes people very jealous of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the stuff you see on there is not that person's real life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I have plenty of friends who work jobs that they don't necessarily love, but they love spending time with their kids or coaching or doing, you know, playing in a, I don't know, maybe playing a pool league or a dart league. So, you know, just find that happiness for you.
So I always like, and I never get mad at anyone because everyone's like, I only put things that I think are fun on my social media page. I'm never one that I'm not going to get on like a soapbox. I'm not going to start like starting arguments with people. Cause to me, social media is not real. It's just it's like a scrapbook. That's how I view it. Like it's a scrapbook of fun memories that I could put on somewhere. That way I don't have to constantly send these pictures to all of my friends and family and they can see all the fun stuff that I might be up to. And I like seeing the fun stuff that my friends are up to. Like if you're out in Milwaukee, I love seeing those pictures because oh cool. My buddy's having fun. I'm not one that's going to use my social media to bitch. But that also, then people have this perception of me that, like, everything is awesome. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it's nice, but it's almost condescending sometimes where people are like, oh yeah, you don't understand because like everything's going so great for you in your life. You got a kid, you got your wife, you just got to try out to be on the Kraken's emergency backup goalie thing. You got on the cover of a magazine. I'm like, yeah.
You're friends with Ted Smith.
Friends with Ted Smith. That's always the first thing that comes up. Yeah, like these are all fun things, but that doesn't mean like I was telling you before we started the show how like I was just beat down one day in tears because of something that was going on at home. Like, but yeah, those aren't things I'm not going to talk about, not because I'm embarrassed by it, but I'm just like, that's stuff I talk about with my friends. That's stuff that I talk about. Yeah, but I'm like, I'm not going to go on social media and then post a picture of me with tears in my eyes explaining why like I'm just beat down about something. I don't know. That's me personally. I don't judge people for however they use it. The one thing I would ask people to stop doing on social media, stop looking for fights. It's insane, dude. I see people on Twitter, I got to imagine they're on 24/7, and they're just looking for anything that goes against whatever they believe. Let's just say like you are someone that hates anyone that wears a mask. And it seems like anyone that posts a picture of them wearing a mask, you're fighting with them. People you don't even know. I'm like, why is that even productive? Why is that even mentally a good thing for you to put yourself through where you're constantly looking for someone to argue with on social media? You're not changing their mind. You're just this crazy rando that's getting on their page yelling at them.
Yeah. And listen, working in the industry we work in, there's ways to take pictures of stuff that makes it look more full, or there's more people there, or it's a bigger deal than it is.
Right, right.
So like sometimes you got to be careful too with stuff because it's like that is such a small sample size. Yeah, of what's actually going on.
Dude, that is real. Like, let's stop worrying. Like, I always tell people when that get worked up about this, I'm like, why are you so consumed with the opinion of somebody else who you don't know? So you don't even know if their opinion is valid, but you're mad at them about their opinion. It's just their opinion.
Yeah.
If they think like the world's coming to an end tomorrow and they're giving you all these reasons and you don't agree, just move on.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, by you fighting with them, save the world from ending tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's like,
and it's all words. There's no context or whatever, or not context. You know, like I could say something to you, and you can hear my inflection.
Inflection. Yep.
Right. Like when I say all the time, kind of joking around with people, like if Steve Burns me on, I'm like, oh, F off.
Yeah.
Right. But like if I type out to Twitter to Steve, F off, you'd be like,
whoa,
what happened?
I need to call Ted and see what's going on. Dude, I thought we were Bert and Ernie, man. Like, Bert would never tell Ernie to F off.
Oh, he would when he's blacked out drunk.
Yeah, that's a solid point.
You know how Bert gets, Mr. Nice Guy. Uh-huh. You never seen him when he's drinking his old gin and tonics.
Oh, he gets wasted. Such throwing bottles at people.
Don't even
talk to Big Bird.
Even Saturday or Sunday, I was with a group of people, and we were talking about Pink Whitney's.
Yes.
And everybody's just like, I don't know. Like, they're just like, what? What are you saying? Like, Pink Whitney. What is that? I'm like, it's just an alcoholic drink.
Yeah.
I was like, it's really good. But it's funny. I run in some circles, too, where, like, people almost get thrown off. And I'm like, well, it started with a hockey podcast.
Right.
Well, I don't watch sports.
You don't need to.
That's not the point.
Do you like alcohol?
Right.
Yeah. But I don't like hockey. You don't need to like hockey to like the Pink Whitney.
I can tell you this. I have never sung a Grateful Dead song.
Right.
But I love hanging out with Grateful Dead fans. Right? Sometimes you're like, oh, I don't watch when it's sports ball or whatever. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
It's a thing bringing people together. They're having fun.
I mean, look at it right now. It's so much fun being around people that never watched hockey before that are all of a sudden invested because we have a home team. And it's like, I never thought in a million years I'd have like water cooler talk at work about the Kraken or
hockey in general.
Yeah. Or be at the gym and somebody sees my Kraken tattoo is like, and so I remember everyone's like, do I need to be worried? I'm like, not yet. No, not yet. It's too early in the season to be worried. Like, we haven't even had a home game. We're still unbeaten at home. Like, let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't played a game at home, but, you know.
That's all right. I can get them.
Right. Well, yeah, it's like, do you like vodka? Yes. Do you like pink lemonade? Love it. Would you like pink lemonade infused vodka? Absolutely. Well, it's called Pink Whitney. It's based on this hockey pod. I don't like hockey and I don't like podcasts.
Yeah, right?
What the hell is wrong with you?
Right, chill out.
Do you like fun? Yes. Well, you would love it. Do you like cheap alcohol? It's like 10 bucks at Safeway.
That stuff's great, man.
It's the best.
It is. Man, I'm getting thirsty just thinking of it. We got to get a bottle before we go to the game.
I'll bring it here to work.
Nice.
We'll drink it on the way in a brown paper bag.
Dude, do we go old school and just get a couple pints and just swig them, or half pints and just swig them on the way up? Like, look, it's going to be dark, probably rainy. It's December. I don't think anybody's going to stop us on the street and be like, are you two consuming alcohol?
You're absolutely right. Let's do it. Oh, man, that's good. We're just going to get really raunchy.
Yeah, I mean, that's tailgating, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't generally drink on the light rail, but I've been known to have a little nip on the platform before I head up to a Husky game.
Then we might have to wait in a line to get into the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold. What warms the soul more than
Pink Whitney's?
Pink Whitney's.
We're the biggest effing hockey fans here, man. Take a pull. Yeah. Oh, COVID, you can.
So real quick, I want to tell you the what happened over at Climate Pledge. So
all right.
Last week, I get a message from somebody that is related to somebody who works for the Kraken. And they're like, okay. Hey, what's your status? Are you vaccinated? And would you be available on the home opener? And I'm like, yes and yes. Why? I need to put you in touch with this guy. He's desperately looking for some people to audition for an opportunity with the Kraken.
All right.
And I'm like, yeah, I have no idea. So I get all my info. I get an email from the guy. He's like, hey, what's your mobile number? I'm like, it's this. He goes, let me call you. He calls me up. He's like, how are we being connected? I explained to him what went on. He goes, this is all very random because he's not from here. He's from Vegas. He's part of, so it turns out he is part of the team that worked in Vegas that got hired by the Kraken, now works for the Kraken to create the entertainment that happens on the ice.
Nice.
Right. So all that craziness that the Kraken had before their games, he was part of the, he's one of the main players that was responsible
for Vegas.
It. Yeah, that did it in Vegas. So we talk, he's like, man, I'm loving your vibe. He's a wrestling fan. So we hit it off about that, which I thought was awesome. Just a good dude from New York. Instantly, as I'm talking, he goes, whereabouts in New York are you from? I'm like, oh, is it that obvious? He goes, yeah, for a New Yorker it is. I'm like, oh, Brooklyn. He's like, my parents are from Brooklyn. Great guy. Like,
I did it today to somebody. BS with them. I go, you from here? Where you from, brother? He's like, Charlotte. I was like, oh, I'm from D.C.
Yeah, it's funny when you start noticing that. So we hit it off great. Get a message from him. He's like, hey, I need you to come to Edge. You know, he's like, I'm getting a great vibe from you. What they were looking for is their main person was not available. They're creating a team of hosts. The people that like basically are on the microphone in between stoppage of play. You know, like, welcome Kraken fans. Hey, we're about to play, you know, the hydroplane races, which person, you know, not the announcer guy that says who scored the goal and the penalties and stuff, more of the person that's kind of like the ultimate fan hanging in the stands talking to people.
Yeah, like you walk around, you're waving a towel, you got on the gear.
Yeah, that all kind right. of a guy. So I'm like, they're like, we have a team, and we're happy with them, but it just, for crazy reasons, the main people aren't able to do it, and we're in a bind, so we need somebody that will also be our backup whenever they can't do it as well.
All right.
I'm like, what is it with me and being a backup for the Kraken and things? Like,
it's got, eventually you're getting on that ice.
At some point, Ted, at some point. So I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. I was like, I wouldn't be able to commit to do it all the time. Even if I was, like, if I knocked it out of the park and you're like, can you do every game? I'm like, I can't. Like, that's impossible when you wake up at 3 a.m. So he's like, well, come down. You know, we just want to make sure you're cool. You know, he's like, just really just want to make sure you're not a jerk, this, that, and the other thing. He's like, I get a great vibe from you. So just come on down on Saturday at around 1 and we'll go through it all like an audition. I'm like, all right, that sounds cool. Go down there. I did not realize when I got down there that it was as much of an audition as he meant. So I get down there. They're trying out a backup for the PA announcer as well.
All right.
So that's going on. First of all, walk into that arena and just blown away. It's the most incredible. Like I said, it's beautiful. And you walk in and it's just like down. Like you, from the floor level, you're basically at the nosebleed section. And
look
straight down and that there's the ice. So it's like you're above the main section above the ice.
All right.
And I think you're like right in the middle of where like the 300 or the 200 level, I think it is.
Right. And then
there's 100 and 200. That's basically it. But yeah, so you're at the top. So you go down, and I'm like, this is incredible. So I see him there. I meet up a few of the other people. These are all like the main Vegas, like well-respected people in this industry that did this, all there. And he's like, cool, are you all set to go? I'm like, yeah. He goes, here's the mic. It's going to be hot in a second.
Oh.
Right. I thought I was going to go into like a room. And just like, and it wasn't any fault of theirs. They said, come to Climate Pledge. It's an audition. I should have maybe been more mentally ready thinking that I'm going to be on the microphone with the big speakers. So as the construction's going on, as Tim Leiwicki and the ownership group are walking around watching me on a microphone, basically doing this as an audition.
Are you in the stands or are you on the ice?
I'm in the stands about like 10 rows above the ice.
Okay.
And so they're setting me up in these situations where I'm like talking to a fan, which is just a coworker.
Right.
One of them was funny. She was like being a total jerk on purpose to see how I would handle it and like how nice I would still be. And like, dude, I give them all the credit in the world. It didn't work out. I'll spoiler alert on that. But I give them all the credit in the world.
Did you get to fire a t-shirt cannon?
I didn't. But I did get to announce a team of people that would be firing a t-shirt cannon.
Nice.
They weren't there. But it was cool, man. Like, I was doing all this stuff, and they were coaching me there. Like, hey, we need you to talk a little bit slower. That way we could hear it. Just understand that there's going to be people walking around. They're not going to be able to fully pay attention to you. So the slower, the better when you're doing this.
All right.
It's hard for me because I'm nervous. There is that weird delay with the microphone, even though it's not a lot, but it's enough to like, you're trying to like get ahead of your own voice. So I was just like overwhelmed by the whole thing. And I thought it was the drizzling poops. Although a lot of times during it, like he would coach me, I would do it again. He's just like, yeah. Like,
but I think people don't understand too. Like, I can't explain it, but like you do it with Defy. I do it with Cage Sport. Mm-hmm. Like for those like, maybe a second or and a half or two that you put the mic down and you're not saying something, it mm-hmm. seems like forever.
Eternity.
And you could just, like, I try not to make eye contact, but you could feel every eyeball on you.
And that's kind of what it felt like. And also, my nerves, I talk a lot faster when I'm nervous. So,
we all do.
Yeah, so I was flying through it. I got to where I slowed down a little bit more, but in my head, I'm like, everything else I felt like I nailed, but that's a big part of it because they don't want you to be 100% all the time on the mic. They're like, sometimes you're talking while people are still getting in there. It's like 20% capacity. We don't need you yelling into right. the microphone. We need you to like kind of almost like ease people into the experience. And I was having a hard time with that. But they did everything in their power to set you up for success. And I was like,
all right.
That to me was the most impressive thing. Like how supportive and how willing they were to like try and get you to be the best version of yourself as possible. Which I, you know, sometimes you do these things and And some people would have the attitude of like, you don't got it. You don't got it. Get the hell out. You know what
right.
I mean? Like
yeah,
that we got enough people. So I go through all of it and they were very happy and complimentary till the very end. And even the guy's like, hey, keep tomorrow open because it looks good. But, you know, we still have more people to check out. But you did great. And we got to still talk about it. But if we do need you, we're going to need you tomorrow to do a dry run. We're going to have a hockey game go on with like some beer leaguers. And we're going to treat it like a pro, like the game and full on nice. Dress rehearsal. I'm like, yeah, I'll be here if you need me. He's like, awesome. Blah, blah, blah. So I get home and I'm kind of like, I'm in my head about it. I'm like, man, I failed that. Like, I just sucked. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
even
course.
Sid's like, how'd you do? I'm like, I don't think I did very well. And I hadn't heard from him all day. And I'm like, you know, they're probably just not going to contact you if you didn't get the gig. And it is what it is. Around like 9 o'clock at night, my phone rings and I'm like,
uh-oh.
Pick up the, and I see it's his name, and I'm like, oh boy. Heart starts racing. I'm like, maybe I did get the gig. Pick up the phone. He's like, hey man, I just got done here, because there was a game going on that day as well, so I'm sure they had to like pay attention to that too.
Well, I was going to say, right, because they were in Columbus.
Yeah, so he's like, we're not going to need you tomorrow. We won't need you on Saturday, but this isn't, we don't need you at all. He's like, we definitely want to keep you on speed dial. We loved your vibe. Everyone agreed, like, you were pretty much the guy, and if it wasn't for this other person that came in, it was just like plug and play. Like, and I got that. Like, if you got a week to prep me and get me ready to be a guy that could do an NHL hosting gig that's never done it before, or you have a guy that has the skill set that walked right in and had the yeah. nerves to do it, go with that person. I don't blame you. I'm bummed because I was like, oh, I get to go to
So are you
free.
A backup for that now?
I feel like I'm a backup to the backup to the backup to the backup.
Jesus.
I don't know.
If
don't
you get
know.
Called in on the game we're supposed to go to, I'm going to be pissed.
Dude, that was my fear.
I'll be screaming at you, but I'll be like, damn it, Steve, it's supposed to be us.
You know what's funny is I thought about that. I'm like, that's a non-negotiable. I'm not doing that game. I even thought about that when I was like trying to figure it out. I'm like, I can't do Halloween because I'm not missing Tatum going around trick-or-treating. I've already turned down a wrestling booking because of that. Like, and that was actually one that was getting me nervous because like, we need you in the beginning of the season. And the first four games, one of them is Halloween. So I was like, man, I might have to turn this gig down if they say they need me here for that. So them turning me down definitely relieved a lot of stress, but also I'm human. And I was devastated for the rest of the day. I was really disappointed. And the next day I was kind of depressed. And I give props to my wife. Like, she's always been very supportive, but she's not like walking around pumping my tires all the time.
No.
But like that, she knew I was bummed. And she's like, you know, it's obvious that they're not from here. They don't know what you are and what you've done for this city when it comes to like your love for hockey on the air.
Right.
And if they did, I bet they would have, if it was close between two people, they would have went with you because they would have recognized what value you bring maybe not perfect on the microphone, but you bring a lot because that fan base that's at a hockey game, a good number of them are KSW listeners.
I was going to say, there's a huge chunk of that audience that knows exactly who Steve Miggs is.
And that meant a lot hearing that. Like, you know, I was like, because you feel it, you think it, but you also feel like a douchebag if you say it. You're like, don't you know who I am kind of thing? But it's
hey,
you going to pass up on this? So long story short, super long story, sorry. But it was a surreal experience, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was like a whirlwind because it was like I went from 1 minute not knowing that they knew who the hell I was to come down and audition.
I mean, at some point between this and the backup goalie, you got to do something with that club this year.
I feel like maybe I'll be hired to be the backup to the beer guy in section 103.
You know what's going to happen? Is you're going to be playing goaltender for the other team, and then when there's a stoppage in play, somebody skates you a mic, and you're like, okay, folks, now look at the t-shirt cannon.
Don't forget to head to the team store. We're offering a great discount on home jerseys.
Right, they brought in the emergency goaltender, and he's also doing announcements.
Yeah, dude, it was insane. The whole thing was just a whirlwind. I couldn't even believe. I can't even put it into words. It was nuts.
Oh, that's awesome, though.
Yeah.
And you got to see it before anybody else did.
That was pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
I got to be on the microphone in the arena. And at one point, I'm like saying some stuff. And I'm like, all right, let's hear it for our Kraken. And there's a bunch of like construction guys going, yeah. And I was like, that's pretty funny. Like, if a construction guy knew who, like, if they're a listener of KSW, I'd be like, is that Steve on the microphone? Like, what's going on here? The whole thing, dude, it was nuts. It was an experience of a lifetime. I wish it would have ended differently because how nuts would that have been if I got to be the host that opening night?
That'd be wild.
Like, I'd be the first person talking.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right, I got to ask, and I'm sure you didn't because you're professional.
Yeah.
What were you like, want to slide me a ticket for that first game? I mean, I know that's not your style, but that's tough. You're in the arena making announcements like, hey, look, whether you use me or not, but I showed up. I'm ready for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can I get a ticket?
Y'all got any more of them tickets?
It's like, your guy might blow his voice. You might need a backup while there. Come on. I don't even need a seat.
Yeah.
I'll go to standing room.
Yeah, I'll just milly around.
Well, that was the funny part, too. Since like, well, she's like, well, what was it going to pay? I'm like, I have no idea. I have that page. I got to imagine it's like at least a couple $100 for all I
wouldn't
know.
Even have thought to ask.
And she's like, you didn't even think about that? I'm like, I'll be honest. All I was hoping is that they would hook me up with a jersey with my name on it. Like, if they would personalize a jersey. She's like, but you already have a jersey. I was like, yeah, but I don't have a free jersey that's personalized, given to me by the team. She's like, you're so weird. I was like, what? She's like, so you'd rather that over the $500 if it was like $500 a game? I'm like, kind of.
I mean, look, right? I have a Sounders one. You know, when Brett was the kit guy and Drago was there, like, they're authentic jerseys. Mm-hmm. They have our names on them. They have 99.9. I mean, I rarely wear that thing, but I love it. But you're right. There's something different about getting it from the team.
Yeah. If they think of you. Like, I got so, like, silly jealous, but jealous of, like, some of the radio people over at KJR, because obviously they work with them. It's the broadcast home for them. And other, like, TV personalities, like Ross Fletcher, he works at Root, which is the broadcast partner. But you see them opening up the boxes, and they got, like, the personalized jersey as a gift from the team. I'm like, why not us?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought I was going to get one.
Nope.
I failed us, Ted.
Would you put Migliori or just Migs?
I would put Migs. They were calling me Migs there.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, like they were all like, it was like the whole crew. We were just like, hey, what's up? And he was great. He did his research. Because I pick up the phone, he goes, so you're a wrestling fan? You tried out to be our backup goalie? And you're a girl dad. I have kids too. And
I'm like, oh, damn.
I was like, okay, I'm glad I don't put anything really, going back to our conversation about social media, I'm glad I don't use that for a soapbox, because checked my social media pages to make sure that wasn't something that maybe would put them in a bad light.
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember that, kids.
For real.
Don't write stupid stuff on social media. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the wide world of sports.
Maybe oh, yeah.
Some Kraken. Maybe we'll drown our sorrows in the Seattle Seahawks. When the Megacast returns. Come on, Hawks.
Ted and Steve need a minute to jump in the shower and crush a beer. The Megacast will be back.
Mm-hmm. At first, I thought I just loved fall like everyone else. But then one day, I let my daughter walk home in the pouring rain. I could have been on time, but I stopped for another pumpkin spice latte.
We were having dinner with friends, and I got blackout drunk on pumpkin ale. My wife told me that I tried to romance a bowl of pumpkin risotto. She'll never unsee that.
These are real stories from real addicts. That's why we at Pfizer have stopped working on COVID to develop the Pumpkin Patch, a convenient, discreet, wearable step-down treatment to stop the cravings threatening pumpkin addicts and their families. Good people with a bad habit who just needed a little help to get their lives back.
I'm not late for the bus anymore.
We're starting to use our real names again, and it feels pretty good.
The Pumpkin Patch is not covered by insurance, but at $9.50, it's still cheaper than a latte. The Pumpkin Patch from Pfizer. We're more than just COVID and boners.
I wish the entire Kraken hockey team would line up and shoot pucks at Ted and Steve's face. Sorry, that was a little aggressive. I just want them to shut up. The Megacast is back.
You drop some bars, Ted. Steve, and I fail at everything involving the Kraken. Buy me a pretzel.
Dude, I had a nice pretzel watching the hockey game Saturday at the Queen Anne Beer Hall.
The pretzels are good?
They are.
Dude, I just got my mind blown. I think Dairy Queen has pretzel sticks.
Ooh. Well, this is, I mean, that's a German beer hall. Or, God damn it. I call it a German beer hall. I think technically it's Austrian.
Hey.
Either way. Yeah. Soft. I mean, giant. I know you're the pretzel guy, but between Milwaukee and Queen Anne Beer Hall, I'm like Mr. Soft Pretzel on Saturdays.
Join the club, man.
I don't know if I want to call myself Mr. Soft Pretzel.
Yeah. Definitely don't call yourself Mr. Softy. Although that's a great soft ice cream in the East Coast. Did you guys have a Mr. Softy?
We did not. That's a New York thing. But have you read the articles about like the gangs?
No.
Oh yeah, some of those Mr. Softies are run by like old school mobsters, and like they
what?
If other ice cream trucks try to get in their facility or their area, they had like baseball bats in their trucks. Oh, the Mr. Softy thing is deep.
I'm gonna read about. Is there a documentary? Because there needs to be.
Man, I can't remember if it was last summer or the summer before I read all about this. And they're like, the mob controls Mr. Softy.
I never heard this.
Or there's like another one trying to break in.
Ayo.
Oh, hey, you want this?
We're the only ice cream guys on the block, eh?
Yeah, I don't know. We just had an ice cream truck.
Oh, dude, Mr. Softy was the best. It was a mobile truck that had soft ice cream. And you could either do vanilla. I'm back in New York. Vanilla.
Chocolate or swirl.
Chocolate or the swirl. Or the most gangster one, and I would still go vanilla on both. It was a cone that split off into two cones.
Ooh.
So it was like those like old, like those sugar cones.
Oh, yeah. You know,
like
the short guys.
With the square bottom kind of thing. But it would branch off, and it almost became like a goalpost in football. And you could fill up soft serve like of one flavor on one side and one on the other. And it would hit a little bit. But
I feel like I go swirl. I'm almost always vanilla. But if I have a swirl option, I'll swirl it.
I have done swirl on one, vanilla on the other. So I still get the majority of the vanilla, and I could just work the swirl first.
You sound like the two whitest people in America.
Well, we
I mean,
are.
Yeah, I'll add a little swirl, but it's mostly vanilla. All right, mostly vanilla. It goes. You know what it washes down? Plain cheese pizza.
Yes.
Which I still like a slice of cheese.
I was just thinking that this morning. I'm like, yeah, New York, I'm either getting cheese or pepperoni. Nothing else.
Yeah. And I know. And I love Pagliacci. And I order some of their crazy ones. But yeah, like to me, I'm like, yeah, you either get cheese or pepperoni.
I know. My buddy, Nick Wayne, who's a wrestler, he's just blowing it up right now. He went to New Jersey to wrestle for a company, Game Changer. I think it was Game Changer Wrestling. It was one of the big indies. And he was in New Jersey. And I'm like, did you get any pizza? He goes, every night. And I'm like, you notice a difference, right? He goes, yeah, it's incredible. I'm like, yeah, it's pizza or bagels. He's like, oh, I had bagels too. I'm like, you love those as well? He goes, it was amazing. I was like, yeah, it's impossible not to eat those things there.
I know. Bagels is probably the one I miss the most.
I would take, if right now someone said we will hand you a New York style bagel or pizza, I'd go bagel as well.
Yeah. Because you could find good pizza.
Yep. But a good plain bagel, you don't even need cream cheese. You don't need anything on it.
All right. Do you toast your bagels if you get them from a bagel shop?
Yes.
All right. I don't.
So you just eat them raw?
I raw dog that MF-er with cream cheese.
Oh, but the cream, I mean, I don't hate it without, I do like a little crisp to it.
All right, all right.
I definitely like my bagels to be warm.
All right, and then we'll get to sports. Did you eat Lenders as a kid?
Yes.
The frozen ones?
Oh, yeah.
God, now those you would toast. We love those things, man.
And we would put them in the, we had like that, what is it, the convection oven?
Like a toaster oven?
Toaster oven, yeah. Yeah. I thought that, I don't know if it's called a convection oven or convection, I don't. Why am I trying to sound serious?
I don't know, but I know there's a difference, I want to say, between just a toaster oven and a convection oven.
Okay, it's a toaster oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would, that's how we would cook our bagels from the Lenders ones, and then also the Thomas English muffins.
Oh, yeah.
Those were just butter.
But yeah, I used to put butter and some garlic salt.
When I went to 13 Coins with Danhausen, I ordered a breakfast solely because it came with English muffins.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I haven't had an English muffin in forever. And it was just as great as I remembered it.
It's all, and the other thing too is, I'm hungry.
I'm so
but
hungry.
But bagels and muffins too also are good for, like, you could put lunch meat on there, like, whatever.
Dude, I would get a salt pretzel bagel sandwich. Not salt pretzel, a salt bagel sandwich at the airport. I can't remember the place. I don't know if it's still there. It was next to the Burger King in the airport. Right. And they'd have these salt bagels that were awesome. And I would get a roast beef sandwich.
Yeah.
And it was the salt bagel with the roast beef sandwich was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My man. I want to eat all of this.
Oh, when I was a kid, I was a little fat kid. So with my mom, on Saturdays, we go to this place called in College Park. You ready for this? The bagel place. And I remember we'd get a dozen bagels and cream cheese. And instead of like cutting it open, like I would just rip it, like cut it in, like rip it in half and then take a knife and scoop out. So every bite would have its own little thing of cream cheese.
I've been guilty of that. I love like the cream cheese, like the packet.
Oh, yeah. Just squeeze that mother on
squeeze
there.
And then bite. Keep going like that way. It's amazing. I think our bagel place was at the end of our block in New York, like right on Avenue U in Flatbush. And it was just called New York Bagels.
Yeah, that's what I love. Like the place, like bagel place. And then when I lived in up in Baltimore in Towson, it was called Towson Bagel.
The best part with ours, it wasn't just a bagel shop. The bagel part was in the back of the store. When you walk in, it was a full-on convenience store. It was kind of like the city market. Yeah. In Capitol Hill that you used to live by. You'd walk in, you got all the stuff, not a lot, but magazines, lots of wrestling magazines. That's why I like going there. And then the very back, that's where all the bagels were, and they were fresh.
Yeah, like when I, like, right, we used to go to some corner stores in Baltimore. There was one across the street, and we would go get steak and cheeses over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the other one was Knishes. I used to go to that same place.
Knishes are delicious.
And put those in the toaster oven.
Mm.
Cut them in fours, a little mustard, dip it.
I've been known to eat a hamantaschen myself, too.
What's a hamantaschen?
Traditional Jewish like pastry around Purim, which is like Jewish Halloween.
Okay.
But it's like a...
I've probably had it, and I don't even know what it is.
I mean, I would argue, because I used to run a Jewish talk show at Baltimore, Shalom USA, which Shalom Baltimore. But the...
I never knew that.
Oh, my God. I did that for 2 years. I had to be there at 6 a.m. to run this show at 8. But yeah, they haven't been thrilled at it before I did. And they would have us try food, but the hamantaschen, I was like, this is delicious. It was like a...
Oh, the triangle thing.
Yeah, it's like a souped up, like, Edamond's apple pie or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Hostess apple pie.
They look like little triangles, and in the middle is like the...
It's like lemon or some kind of... Yeah, they're awesome.
I never knew the name of these things.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, those are amazing.
I'm telling you, you run a Jewish talk show for 2 years, you learn stuff.
Bro, I like that it's also known as Haman's ears.
Oh, all right.
I don't know what that is about, but that's what...
I'm sure it has to... We knew the religion, we know.
Yeah. Well, you should. You went. You worked at the...
Hey, they never told me the real name. They just called him hamantaschen.
I joke because I worked at a Spanish radio station. No one ever like clued me in on any of the things they were talking about. They're just like, just start the commercials. That's all we need you here for.
So real quick, this was two guys, right? One guy was named Larry. I can't remember the other guy's name. But Larry... So people should know this, too. When you listen to like AM stations and stuff, you could buy time.
Yes.
Like I'm like KSW is way too big of a state. Like you can't buy time.
A lot of AM stations around here, like those like... non-brand, like not like, you know, obviously Como or Cairo are on a different level, but like these random smaller AM stations are purchase time programming.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they would buy time and they would do their, and to their credit, it was Shalom Baltimore, and then they were getting syndicated, so it was Shalom USA. But Larry had it broken down by every like 10, 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and he was awesome. The other guy was like stereotypical, just like didn't want to talk to anybody. Like he was like the voice of the show, but he was never happy. But Larry was always like, Ted, good to see you. And he had everything, and he would have the CDs stacked up, like we need this music for that, this music for that. Like,
yeah,
it was, and you gotta understand, right? I'm 21 or probably 22 doing this. So it's Sunday morning, right? Like, sometimes I go out on Saturday night to just sleep at the station for 3 hours and then do the show.
Right.
So I feel like crap. Larry was the nicest dude. He always had everything right. It was so easy to run.
He set you up for success.
And right. And those 2 hours flew by.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've worked on some weird radio gigs. Like, I think about it, I worked at a gardening show on Como AM. That was weird. And like, a food one. That one was awesome because sometimes they'd bring chefs in and they'd bring in, like, samples.
Well, for 2 years, I was the executive producer of the Navy Football Network.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was in the studio and, like, run everything and then send it up to the bird, and then it would go out on Armed Forces Network and this and that.
That's pretty cool.
It was. We're always big in Hawaii because they have a huge naval base out there.
Dude, really nice naval base. If I was going to be in the Navy, I'd want to be stationed at that naval base.
Yeah.
I remember driving by that when we went to Hawaii. We went to the Pearl Harbor exhibit and memorial, and it was just like they basically have their housing on the water.
Yeah.
Nice.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. This is
the Ted Smith's
Wide World of Sports.
Brought to you by
Smith Family Popcorn. Good people, great popcorn.
Tough weekend for sports fans in the Northwest.
A bleepy bad weekend for all sports.
Yep. Sounders dropped one. Don't worry, Sounders back in action tonight. They'll be fine.
Yep, lots of heartbreakers if you're just wanting to have one game look good for Seattle sports.
Right. Seahawks, I really thought that was a win we could steal. That didn't happen. It was Sunday night. Yeah, dude, it's gonna be a long year.
I remember thinking this is the worst Sunday night football game probably for them to have. You know, it just seemed like on paper it was going to just be crap. And it was a fun game.
Oh, first, yeah, it was a great sucked, watch. Yeah.
But, man, the Seahawks, like, the defense looked pretty good. Man, it got to overtime.
Who's that rookie? 2-2. He had an awesome game.
Is it
the cornerback?
Not Trey Brown?
Trey Brown.
He looked great.
Yeah.
Reed was the other. They both look great.
Yeah, and Brown seems to be one of the few people on our defense that remembers to bring his arms to the party and wrap up when you frickin' tackle.
That tackle was awesome.
Jesus. That was driving me nuts. Like, wrap up.
No, we're all too busy trying to punch the ball out, Ted. We can't do that because that always works.
Yeah. And
I mean, it works against our players.
I knew Roethlisberger was going to throw a pick. And then when we hit Adams in the face mask, and I get it. He's got his head lowered, but I'm sitting there, right? I had played soccer. We got a win finally this weekend.
All right, so it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Weekend.
We got 4 points out of 2 games.
Nice.
But I'm sitting there with our buddy Brett, and I go, Roethlisberger's not good this year. He's going to throw it. And like, I was like, there it is. Oh, it's off his face mask.
And it's just like, man, of all games, like, you have that opening intro where you're saying you're the best in the nation. I know it was a goof, or it was a callback to someone else who once did that.
Yeah, he was referencing a kid.
That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it was like I wasn't not worked up about that, but I'm like, oh, you're basically going to become the Twitter meme of the month.
With that said, though, I love Adams.
Same.
He does a lot of stuff on that field that people don't see and causes a lot of trouble. But yeah, it's going to look at this point, it could be a long year.
I contend, if anything, like, I know a lot of people are like giving him a hard time, and like, yeah, I want to see him do what he did like last season, but I feel like he's being used differently than he did last year. Like, he's not being so. At that point, who are you blaming? Like, are you blaming him?
Say it louder for the people in the back, Steve.
Are you blaming him? Are you blaming the coaching?
Right. Well, you're exactly right. Like, he's being used, and people are like, well, he's not doing this, not doing that, and like, I don't want to be a nerd, but sometimes, like, right, you got to understand, like, what's going on here, what the scheme is, who left, who's here, what we're asking him to do.
Right.
I would say this. I like him freelancing. The only thing I would tell Adams right now is, like, hey, just sit in our defense, right? Because I feel like he's pressing a little bit, looking for that explosive play, whereas, like, his explosive plays come out of playing solid defense.
Yeah. I got to imagine, like, in his head, he's probably thinking, I have to be a difference maker. People are giving me a hard time. I was paid all this money. I was 2 first-round draft picks. There's a lot going on with that. And I understand some fans are very frustrated, but I think when you look at it, you're like, he's not being used the same way. If you're not using him to his strengths, is he really then the problem, or is it the coaching and how they use him?
Right, and look, for Seahawks fan, it could be a long year. I will say this. I jumped on when they got good. I'm here. I'm staying with it. I'm wearing my Hawks here. But also, when Russell comes back, that's going to be an angry team. So it's going to be a different year for Seahawks fans, but it'll be fun. There'll be some games where it's like, holy cow, I can't believe we pulled that off.
I'm very glad that they have an extra game this season. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, man, if this was a 16-game season, I'd be like, oh, I'm still going to watch, but this is not – there's really almost no hope.
Right, and it's also the downside of playing in the best division in football, right? It's like, right, every team in our division is good.
Yeah, if they could just steal a win next week, I mean, they should be able to beat Jacksonville the week after that, and then hopefully – I know some people are saying Russ won't be ready in time after the bye week, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed, maybe poor choice of term.
Yeah, the Saints, I hadn't counted. I really thought we were going to steal one in Pittsburgh. We almost did, but you're right. Monday Night Football, you never know. Is that here or in New Orleans?
I think that's here. Yeah.
Yeah, so Monday Night Football – you never know. It's the Seahawks. It's prime time. So something crazy could happen. But right, you're right. You steal one there, then you should beat Jacksonville. Then you go, okay.
Right. Right. We're went out 500. Let's see what happens. Or a game over 500.
I think it would, yeah.
Yeah, because that'd be three wins. They'd be 5-4.
Yeah. So you never know. Kraken, we've already been talking about it. Look, it's hockey. It takes some time. They haven't practiced. They've been on a brutal road trip.
Brand new team, don't get to practice on the road. They have morning skates. You don't really get to work on a lot because you don't know where your guys out. This is not the end of the world. They're only 5 games into an 82-game season.
Right, and I do like the fight. I mean, literally, as the games go on, you could tell the boys are tired, and they're like, screw it, let's just get in a fight. I'm like, all right. You need, I mean, it's hockey. You need a bit of an edge on something.
Did you see that fight in Philly where Bastion took on, man, I can't remember who on Philly, but one of the fighters for Philly, and he's just basically doing everything in his power not to get hit by that guy.
I know, right.
That was pretty funny.
But I give him credit for taking that on.
Dude, players respect you just for being willing to drop the gloves. It doesn't, like, a lot of times, your team gets motivated whether or not you get a punch in or not. It's just like, oh, man, look, he's taking on the biggest guy on their team.
I know, that's what was crazy.
It happened with Philly, the Alexiak, our guy that's like 6 foot down, smaller guys. Alexiak rocked him. The fight ends. The other guy's celebrating into the, like, looking into the crowd, like doing like a warrior cry, like as if he just beat the crap out of Alexiak.
Yeah, I just like, we dropped the gloves on their big enforcer. Like, all right.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, I like the fight of this team. They're fun. Yeah. Every game's been fun, minus the Philly game. They could have won every game.
Yeah, and look, Saturday, that was a brutal loss to Columbus.
Dude, that was a heartbreaker.
Stung, yeah.
That one was the most of all of them hurt the most.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. There was no F1. Maryland had a good week because they didn't freaking play. So they couldn't get blown out by somebody. Huskies.
They should just be in. Maryland should just move to Seattle. They're just as disappointing as all the sports teams here.
They're the Mariners of my sports world.
Did the Huskies win?
No.
No. Cougars won.
Cougars won.
Then lost their coach.
Yep.
Excuse me.
But hey. He's the only coach to never lose an Apple Cup to Washington, from Washington State.
I'd say put him in the Hall of Fame.
Put him in the Hall. Get him in there.
He won't be able to go there, but, you know. Yeah, sorry, get him sir. In. We need that card to let you in. Oh, man. All right, well.
Yeah, I got to go work.
Yeah, I'm going to go home.
All right, well, stay tuned, wrestling fans. Actually, Daniel Bryan said also it was a good interview.
Bryan Danielson.
Jesus, sorry. I screwed that
dude,
up.
Dude, it was so hard not to call him Daniel Bryan during the interview. And
yeah.
The best part is I'm watching AEW and CM Punk was on commentary while Bryan Danielson was wrestling and he kept calling him Daniel Bryan. He goes, you know what? I'm just going to call him the American Dragon because he was like, that's his nickname.
That's why I just say Chargers.
Yeah. Because
it is impossible to call them the LA Chargers.
Raiders. I keep calling.
Yeah, Raiders. Like, for some reason, the Raiders being in Vegas hadn't been as bad.
But that's been hard for me.
The Chargers been like, what, 2 or 3 years? And I cannot get it out of my head. I'm just like, they're the Chargers. They play on a West Coast city.
So follow us on Twitter at the Megacast for us for the wrestling fans. Preface this, we're going to come to an interview that I did with Bryan Danielson of All Elite Wrestling. If you want to see the match that we're talking about, it's up on YouTube for free. Nice. I think if you just type in Bryan Danielson, Minoru Suzuki, and it's like S-U-S-U-S-U-Z-U-K-I. I'm sure it'll autofill for you. It's called their buy-in. It was a little feature that they did on Friday night for those that wanted to watch on YouTube. It's an amazing match. But I interviewed him before the match. The match was just like, they beat the living piss out of each other, like with their strikes.
Nice.
Like really laid into it. And Bryan, he starts referencing it during the interview about how hard this match is going to be because of how hard they hit. And they lived up to it. So if you're a fan of wrestling, I think you'll enjoy this. If you're not, hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll be back on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
And we'll do another one. I believe we're going to have Cody Rhodes joining us at the end of next week's podcast.
Legend.
The legendist. All right, let's jump right into it. My chat with Bryan Danielson here on the Megacast. Pigs! 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 Ah! It's versus the world! The wrestling! Pigs! Hello, Brian. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Very excited to get to chat with you. I don't even know where to start other than tonight you're wrestling Minoru Suzuki, and that is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Super, super pumped. And so, yeah, it'll be on YouTube at 9 p.m. Eastern live and heading into the Rampage show that starts at 10 tonight on Dynamite. But yeah, Minoru Suzuki, for people who don't know, is like this legendary figure in pro wrestling in the sense of like he's done MMA. He was the King of Pancrase. He's like, he's a scary dude. Some people call him the murder grandpa. But what's really interesting to me is that like when I was 23 and I was in Japan and I was young, you know, at that point I'd been wrestling less than 4 years. I wrestled him for the only time in a singles match and he beat the absolute crap out of me. And it was interesting because it actually got me a lot of respect in the locker room from the Japanese guys for fighting back and not complaining and all that kind of stuff. And it actually made me a better pro wrestler. Now that said, tonight, I still remember that. And so,
long time coming.
And I'd like to say that I'm going to threaten Minoru Suzuki to do the same thing to him, but I don't think he's fazed by it. Like, you watch him wrestle and he's so physical and he's like, I don't think he's scared of the physicality at all. I think it makes his eyes light up, right, when he gets hit really hard. So yeah, it should be fun to watch. My wife's probably going to call me after and be like, what are you thinking?
Why did you agree to this?
Yeah, why did you agree to wrestle this man? He's crazy.
Dude, anytime I've seen him, like, my body hurts just watching. He's just, when he winds up, it's intimidating to see because you just know that's going to hurt.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you can imagine my 23-year-old self, like, stepping into the ring with this kind of legendary figure and being a little intimidated. The nice thing about experience and growing older is that, you know, now I'm not intimidated. I'm just excited, you know? So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So much has gone on in the last few months for you, and you join on with AEW. The reaction was just incredible. You have such an amazing match with Kenny Omega, which for a lot of us was a dream match that we never thought would even happen. And now all of a sudden, here you are again having another match that a lot of us didn't think would ever happen again. And it's all happening within a few months. This has to just be a lot to just kind of like, just, if I was in your place, I'd be like, man, I cannot even imagine like what has gone on these last few months. Like, how do you even take a moment to enjoy those moments when so much keeps happening?
Well, so I'm very good about staying in the moment and staying present and being able to enjoy things, right? Like, if I had a superpower, I think that would be it, is the ability to stay present and enjoy the many blessings that I've been given, right, in my life. Because I've been lucky to have some incredible experiences, you know. But like, I think that's actually one of the reasons why I left WWE and joined AEW, is because there were so many exciting things that you could see on the horizon that, like, oh man, I'd love to do this. I'd love to do this. And all of those things make me excited, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this match against Minoru Suzuki, was just announced like Wednesday. Like, I didn't even know about it 3 days ago. And then all of a sudden, like, this gift gets delivered to me, like, in the, you know, and yeah, so that's really exciting. And then tomorrow night, we have a special Saturday Night Dynamite, 8 o'clock on TNT. And then, I wrestle in Bobby Fish, who's another very physical wrestler. And I love that, right? Like, he's a former kickboxer and like loves going in there and really beating the tar out of people. And like, that's the kind of thing that gets a fire going inside of me. And so, like I said, my wife, she's just looking at me and shaking her head and being like, I know when you come home on Sunday, you're going to be beat to all hell, but with a big smile on your face.
And I love that you mentioned Bobby, because not only is that match tonight with your buy-in is you and Suzuki, but also Bobby Fish is taking on Lee Moriarty. And that's an up-and-coming guy that I got to imagine that you have your eyes on as well. I mean, that match, too, is something that's, it's like, oh my gosh, man, on YouTube, both of these matches are just going to be stellar events.
Yeah. And it's really, I don't know. It's just a really a fun time in my career. Cause like you said, there's so many people that I'm looking forward to wrestling. Like there's so many, younger talent that like Lee Moriarty and, you know, Daniel Garcia, who wrestled CM Punk last week on Rampage. And there, you know, there's all these young guys who, you know, those two guys are both very technical and very intense. But then you've got somebody like Dante Martin, who does incredible high flying things that I've never even seen before. Right. And so like he'll be wrestling tomorrow on Dynamite. There's all these guys I want to get in the ring with and honestly kind of kick their heads in a little bit. The young guys, it's funny. I want to do to the young guys what Minoru Suzuki did to me 17 years ago.
You want them to flinch when you wind up.
Yeah. But you know what? I learned a lot from that match. Right. And it made me a better pro wrestler and I think probably a little bit of a better human being. I think that's one of the things that I can help these guys with by going in there and beating the tar out of them.
When you say a better human being, how so? Like, I'm just curious when you say something. Obviously, as a better pro wrestler, I could see that working with a guy like that ups your game. But how do you feel like he made you as a better person?
Well, so one of the things I was very intimidated by Minoru Suzuki. You know, he's the king of Pancrase and all that kind of stuff. And you go in there and he's beating the crap out of you and you have to decide whether to just let him beat the crap out of you or fire back. Mm-hmm. Right. And I decided to fire back and it was just, you know, kind of a testing thing. And then you don't know how he's going to take it because he's like a legitimate fighter. And at the time I had not had very much legitimate fighting training. Right. And so like, hey, oh, this could go really bad. Right. But then at the end of it, like, you know, you fight back. And when I got to the back, like, there's a wrestler named Yuji Nagata who I have an infinite amount of respect for. And he patted me on the shoulder and he said, really good job.
Like, wow.
Good fire. Good fight back. And it just teaches you like, it teaches you a lot about yourself, I think. The whole thing that it's in every amateur wrestling locker room, you know, but the idea that pain is temporary, but pride is forever. Right. And mm-hmm. just like, and that match specifically really nailed that, to me is just this idea of coming like, hey, this really hurts. And this sucks. And then you start to absorb it and then like, oh no, this brings out this other side of me that you didn't know was there. And so that's why I think it made me, but I say that about pro wrestling in general. I think the skills that you learn in pro wrestling, if you look at them, in that kind of way, and you can do this with anything probably, but the skills that you need to learn in pro wrestling, I think, can make you just a better person in general. You know, all the variety of skills. I'm sure the same thing with radio. You know what I mean? The skills that you guys have to learn. I mean, I was a kid who couldn't read a book report in front of a classroom when I was in high school. And now I go out in my spandex underwear and do my thing in front of thousands of people. So, I mean, like, I feel like being in pro wrestling and dedicating myself to the mastery of this one thing has made me a better person.
Well, it resonates a lot. I know I got to let you run, but I do wrestle here on the independent level, and I had like for the longest time there was.
Do you wrestle for Defy?
I'm the host of Defy. I was supposed to wrestle David Arquette actually before the world shut down.
Oh gosh!
And that was kind of a bummer that it didn't happen. For the longest time, you know, people were just like, "Oh, he's a radio guy just trying to do the wrestling thing." And it took one of those matches where I got the crap beat out of me in that ring and just kept going. And then when I went to the locker room, every wrestler was like, "Yeah, you're taking this serious, and we respect that." And that was like kind of like a moment where I was like, "It really meant something to me to hear that from those guys."
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and there's. there's also this line that you don't want to cross where it's like people are bullying people because they're inexperienced right. or whatever it is. And you don't want that to happen because that's happened in wrestling for a long time. And I don't condone that, but I think, you know, there's this fine line between safe physicality
100%
going out there and like, and yeah. And so like, I think those things are real learning experiences, and that can happen in pro wrestling and that can happen in other areas of life as well. But I think, yeah, it's a pretty cool thing to think about and meditate on and all that kind of stuff.
And like I said, I know I got to let you run. I could talk to you forever about wrestling and all, but dude, you got John Moxley just showed up at Defy. You know, we've had Eddie Kingston show up at Defy. We need Bryan Danielson in a Defy ring. You know, the place would lose their minds.
Yeah. So I don't want to raise anybody's expectations.
Sure.
I'm also trying to convince Tony Khan to run a show in Seattle. And I think it would be easier to do that if I hadn't wrestled for Defy first.
True.
But one of the things that I've always kind of wanted to do this is to wrestle for Defy under a mask and nobody even knows it's me. And that would probably defeats the purpose for the promoter, but like, but I just think would be like, you know, kind of a fun experience.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Brian, an absolute pleasure. It's always great chatting with you and congratulations on the last few months as a wrestling fan. You know, I have a kid, so I don't have a lot of time to get to watch a lot of wrestling anymore with a 2-year-old running around the house, but AEW is the one promotion that I make it a point to find some time to watch, especially when you're on television, man. You guys make wrestling fun again, and I absolutely appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Right on, my man. Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.